My desire overall, the overarching thought of this whole series, and please don't miss this, is not just to peruse through the Bible and say, well, what's God like? But it's so you can know God. If you know God, you'll love God. There's something about getting to know people. Now, I know in our relationships here on earth, unfortunately, we get to know people and get to know some negatives. But when you get to know God, He hasn't changed. And that's why I want you to get to know Him, because you will love Him. And if you love Him, then you'll do exactly what the Bible says. You'll obey Him, because how else? I mean, when you're in love with someone, my wife tells me quite often, you know, for food or this or that, she said, you just need to ask and I'll go get it for you. Because she loves me. And it's not an obedience of I have to, it's I want to. I want it, and then you move into serving. That's what happens. You serve. Because if I obey Him, and then in serving Him, you help others to get to know Him. And it continues. But it all starts with knowing God. 1 John 4 teaches us something very important. In verse 7, it says, dear friends, let us love one another. So thank you for doing that this morning. And why? For love comes from God. That's great. And everyone who loves, so you've been doing that, has been born of God and knows God. But listen to the caution in verse 8. Whoever does not love does not what? Doesn't know God. And I can't tell the depth of your heart, and there may be moments you love, but you also know the moments you don't. I want you to know Him, because if you really know Him, you'll learn how to love. Why? Because God is love. In fact, that's going to be the very last attribute I talk about. We've got, including today, there are seven more. Because you need to know Him. Church, if we get to know Him, we'll learn about His love, and we'll be so much more effective at it. Heavenly Father, today, everything I say, please let it go past the vessel. And so, Lord, use Your word to minister. Use these thoughts through the Holy Spirit to penetrate how we've been thinking, or how we've been thinking may be wrong. And grow us so we can know You. Amen. So God does not change, but change is all around us. In fact, in 11 and a half years of pastoring here, there are a lot of things that have changed in the area. Houses going up, buildings going down, all kinds of things. I'm amazed by our house where we purchased. We actually live in Novi, but we purchased, and Providence Hospital, that was nothing there. Now there's a big old hospital, and now on the next side of it is a new assisted living. On the next side of it now is this new academy, and I'm just like, it just changes, just does. But not only do things change, did you know people change? Let me just kind of do a quick thought here. How many have been here, part of this church, for more than 10 years? Just kind of look around, everybody. How many have been here just 1 year? You've just come in the last year. Look at those. How about under five? That means your hand's got to go back up again. If you're under five, you get to raise your hand a lot of times. How many are under the 10-year mark you're part of here? Look around. People change. People find new locations, new places, new things in their life, new bodies of Christ that they worship with. And we welcome all of you. But how many of you know we change? How many of you change your clothes? I'm so thankful. In first service, I asked this question, how many are going to change your clothes for tomorrow? And most everybody said, I said, how many are not going to change? And one hand went up. I'm like, really? But we all change. I'm glad you change your clothes. We change our minds. We change directions sometimes. We change jobs. How many have ever changed your car? How many are ready to change it again? And the problem is, since change is a part of our life, it's just what happens, it somewhat can make it difficult for us to grasp that God does not change, because everything around us changes. Unfortunately, we human beings have these things called good days and bad days. And at times we even will say of someone, we'll say they're not quite themselves today. You've heard that. But God is never not quite himself. God never has a bad day. This attribute or characteristic of God, the theological word that we use to ascribe to him and declare, is that he is immutable. Now, the base word, mutable, comes from the Latin, immutable meaning to change. The Latin word, we gained English words from it, like mutant. And there's the big old turtles, ninja mutants or something. Or mutation, we get that word from it. And we consider a mutant to be a creature that undergoes change in its appearance. But you have to understand, God is not a creature, he is a creator. And as creator, he is immutable. God does not change. God lives forever without mutation, without alteration, without variation, and without fluctuation. He always remains the same. In our world where consistency seems to be a rare commodity, God is someone that you can depend on. Where public opinion changes with the wind, God remains constant. I want you to hear some verses that proclaim God's immutability. Psalm 102, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them and they'll be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. In Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Hebrews 11, this writer in verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is what? The same. Read this with me. Come on, everybody. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Yesterday, my wife and I, that big sun came up, and we were in the car. We were heading west, and the sun is behind us in the east. And so as we're there in the car, I looked ahead, and there's this shadow of the car. And you could see the hood and the two mirrors because we were just directly there. And of course, this message was already, and this thought was in my mind, and I looked at my wife, and I'm like, see that shadow? She was not really interested at all. She didn't know it was going to be a part of the message this morning, but she did. She acknowledged it, and I said, and then as soon as we turned, the shadow shifted and changed, and no longer is it recognizable as a car, because the shifting shadow no longer represented. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. I just think about it. Our problem is everything changes, and yet he doesn't. In fact, the name that God gave to Moses, the name Yahweh or Jehovah, it comes from the Hebrew word YHWH. The problem why we don't know how to pronounce it is part of, through history, they didn't pronounce it, they didn't use it, and Hebrew doesn't have vowels. So they only write consonants. But as language was used, you had understanding of it. But because they never used his name, all we know is YHWH. So people have kind of made up and thrown vowels in there. And one day you might want to go make up your own vowels. Why don't you start it with a vowel and see what happens? But we've come up with Yahweh using two vowels in between the two consonants. Or three vowels in between each consonant, and you get Jehovah or Yehovah, whatever, however you say it. But the key was it meant, or it means, I am. I want you to hear it with Exodus 3:14, because I think this is important. God said to Moses, so this is God speaking to a servant. It says, I am who I am. And he said, this is what I think is important. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I don't know where down the road all of a sudden they said, we can't say his name. It's so holy. God's the one who said, tell them, I am. I am. I'm telling you this morning, he has sent me here to tell you he is the I am. Do I know that in Hebrew or how he said it? No, but I know who he is. The point is very simple. There never was a time when God was or God will be. He has always been I am. The way he is now is the way he's always been and the way he will always be, because he's just the I am. He is perfect and complete. Nothing can be taken away from him and nothing can be added to him because he lacks nothing. Now, to some people, the idea that God does not change kind of can sound boring. Yeah, God doesn't change. And when we feel like things get boring, we think they're uninteresting. But church, God is anything but uninteresting. He may be immutable, but he is unfathomable. In other words, I don't care how well you think you get to know him, you will never know him fully. In fact, as we continue to get to know him, you'll begin to enjoy him more. You'll enjoy life with him. It'll get richer and more interesting. Walking with the Lord will be an adventure unequaled in life. And God will only be boring if your relationship with him is boring. Church, we need to desire to know him more. So what's the importance of knowing that God is dependable, or we can depend on him? The first thing is this. Since God is unchanging, nothing that matters has changed. All of us yearn for something we can depend on. We look for spouses that we can depend on. And I know in our world that has lacked. We look for friends that we can depend on. And I know in life that has lacked. We look for churches and pastors that we can depend on. And I know in life that has happened that it hasn't fulfilled. But church, God is dependable. He doesn't change. Have you ever tried to hold on to with a tight fist a handful of sand? It doesn't work real well. In fact, the tighter you try to hold it, the more you lose. But then if you don't hold it tight, it falls out anyway. It just shifts. It changes all the time. But God does not change. And we can know the really important things of eternity. The matters of eternity have not and will not change. Nothing that matters has changed. What are they? Listen, God's evaluation of the human heart is the same in every generation. God hasn't changed how he evaluates your heart. He doesn't look at the Old Testament people any different than he looks at you. He evaluates the same, and he's a holy God. And he says, I look to and throughout the earth, to and fro, looking for a heart that is after his. God evaluates it the same. It hasn't changed. The work of the God's Spirit in the human heart is something that continues from generation to generation. He hasn't changed how he works. Oh, I know we go, well, we're Pentecostal, and when he came on the day of Pentecost, he changed it. No. It was just a fulfillment of time and the fulfillment of Pentecost that all of a sudden what used to be tabernacles that were built here and they would go to one temple, God said, I'm coming out and I will dwell in the temples, every house. It was always his desire, but there was a fulfillment of time. It was always what he wanted to do. The certainty of life beyond the grave is unaffected by the changes in society. I don't care what person comes up with whatever, but life beyond the grave is going to happen for each and every one of us. The result of what that looks like will depend on what you do during this life. But God has already dictated heaven or hell. The biblical definition of truth remains constant in spite of public opinion. Church, quit. I'm trying not to be mean. I'm not mean-spirited in this. But we listen to so many other voices. If you would go to His Word, read His Word, let His Spirit talk to you about it, then you will come to the conclusion of the truth that is here. All of us change. We move in different locations. We take different jobs. But you need to know, in whatever circumstances, whatever situations we find ourselves, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word remains the standard of truth because it has not changed. God's Spirit will all continue to guide us no matter where we are or what we're doing. The things that are truly foundational, the things that are eternal, the things that really that we're to depend on have not changed because God is unchanging. Secondly, since God is unchanging, His character is consistent. Now, every manager or coach of a ball team, whatever that could be, would love to have someone who is consistent every time they go on the field. In baseball, for instance, wouldn't it be great to know that our pitchers for the Detroit Tigers, right, when they go out this season, they're going to be training and getting ready. Wouldn't you like to know every time they go to pitch, we're going to be certain that they will do it properly and right every time and strike out every batter, right? But how many of you really believe that's going to happen? Why? Because their arm gets tired. They change. They have to change pitchers because it's just life. Did you know your children would love to know that every time they wanted to talk to their parents, that the parent was going to be truly attentive? But it doesn't always happen, does it? At times, us parents, sometimes we're willing, we'll drop everything. Let me hear what you're going through. And then there's other times we're so preoccupied that we don't have time to listen. In fact, I really don't know anyone whose character is completely the same all the time. Nobody here. At one moment, we can be attentive, sensitive, generous, and then the next moment, we're distracted, harmful, or even become self-absorbed. We can be joking with a person at one moment, and then in the very next moment, our words can hurt them. But God is not like that. God's character never changes. He is never less than who He is. By the way, did you know God never improves because there's no improvement needed? I don't know. I think, well, God, after you dealt with them, you must really know how. No. He doesn't improve. He's already perfect in all His ways. God is always wise. God is always sovereign. God is always good. God is always just. God is always holy. God is always merciful. God is always gracious. Whatever God is, He always is. There are no sometime attributes about God. Sometimes He's that way. No. All of His attributes are always attributes. He always is what He is. Practically, what does that mean for us? Well, God will always care. Oh, but I'm sure you've prayed at a time or two, God, I don't, nobody cares for me. And I don't even know if You care. He said, cast your cares on Me because I care about you. The problem is we don't have the relationship to do that. But He hasn't changed. Did you know God will always seek a relationship with you? You're going, well, I've been walking with the Lord all these years, and I don't know nothing new. Well, what have you done to develop the relationship? He's seeking it. And if you run from him, he's seeking you, even today in this place. And by the way, God will always forgive and save the one who truly repents. God will always defend, protect, and shield his children. We'll never come to God and find him having a bad day and not be able to handle you. He doesn't change. Third, since God is unchanging, his promises are sure. Even though we're given straightforward command from the Bible, how many like commands from the Bible? Interesting that I know you want to raise your hand. I mean, but how many really were honest and didn't want to really put up your hand because you don't want another command from the Bible? You wouldn't raise your hand for that either. I'm going to give you a command, and I really want you to listen to it, because I don't think we always take the Word of God as serious as we should. So I want you to hear this from Matthew chapter 5, 37. Jesus says, just say a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Before I continue, just I know that here's what happens. We want to, but we don't really give a clear answer. Say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. You need to learn to be clear with your words, because otherwise the evil one slips in. And here's the things that happen. Even though we're told this, we don't always stay true to our own word. We promise somebody we'll be there for you. I'll show up, but then we don't get there. We promise, I'll get that job done, and then we don't quite finish it. We promise, I'll pray for you, and then somehow we forget to do that. We promise, I'll tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But then we shade it just a little bit, and we leave out important details. God isn't like that. When God makes a promise, it's sure. Like, when God promises to supply all our needs, he will supply all our needs. Now, the problem is we differ on what we think our true needs are. That's where the struggle is. But church, that's where I trust God and his promise to take care of me, and then I make sure to thank him in all circumstances, because that's what he's taught me to do. Well, you go, well, we didn't eat really good this week. Well, I don't know what God's doing, but I trust him. He'll take care of you, because David even said, I've never seen his seed begging for bread. But do we trust him? When he promises to never leave us, he'll never leave us. I know we're sporadic and can be erratic in our relationship with him, but he's always there waiting for us to come back. When he promises to finish the work he started in us, he will finish the work. And even though at times you drift from him and get distracted from time to time, I'm thankful that God does everything he can to get our attention and pull us back, because he wants to continue to grow you up and change you. And when he promises that everyone who comes to him will not be cast away, he means it. Even though in reality, all of us, whether you know it or not, deserve the wrath of God. And by the way, that is going to be one of the attributes we're going to talk about, is his judgment. He's a God. One day, judgment and mercy meet. He's a God of judgment. And every one of us deserve his judgment, and therefore the wrath of God to be upon us. But he says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And God, what God promises, he will do. And he never defaults on a promise. He never forgets a promise. And he always remains true to his word. And fourthly, since God is unchanging, his love for you will never diminish. How many of you know what it's like to be the favorite? Anybody? The favorite. Most of you don't want to raise your hand because you know you're the favorite. And no. How many know what it's like to be in the doghouse? Yep. The problem in this world, love tends to fade. It can have favorites at moments. It can put people in the doghouse the other moments. Church, God's love for you will never fade. You can depend on His love. I want you to hear this great declaration that Paul makes in Romans 8. In verse 35, he says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" Let me keep reading. "Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?" And in verse 37, he answers it by saying, "No. Despite all these things, overwhelmingly victory is ours through Christ who loved us." And he goes on and said, "I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life nor angels or demons, neither our fears or today for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The only thing not mentioned in this list is you. Why? Because it was about relationship. No one else, nothing else has the power to separate you from your love in God, because God's love is constant. Except when you walk away from it and don't receive it. His love is there. But He allows us always to come back. There may be those in this room this morning, you've been desperate to really understand that. He loves you. I know you've made some foolish choices maybe, and maybe some bad choices in life, but He loves you. And perhaps you have trouble praying to Him because you're ashamed or you're embarrassed by what you've done. And you can't imagine how God could love you after all you've done. But you need to understand, God knew us perfectly when He decided to love us before we were even born. By the way, He knows about our sin nature. He's aware. He knows about the rebellious heart. He knows what you've done, good and bad. He knows even that we go days without even giving Him a thought. That happens. He knows all this, but He's chosen to love us anyway. Jesus, in fact, came into this world to declare His love and provide a way for us to be forgiven. And He prays on the cross, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He went to the cross in our place for our sin. And He did it because He loves us, and He was constantly trying to show us that. And the Bible says God's arms are open wide. God is not glaring at you today. God is inviting you. He calls us, "Come clean about what you've done wrong, but then receive My forgiveness," because God wants to make you new from the inside out. Church, when we receive Him, we can be sure His love will never waver. It's true, at times He disciplines us because those He loves, He disciplines. Because He has to knock off some of the rough edges in our life. But He'll always do it with His love and His grace. This morning, maybe you feel no one loves you. And you feel like nobody understands. You feel, "I have nothing to offer the world." But you need to know you are wrong. God made you. And He made you unique and special. He fashioned you in love. And He knows your potential, and He sees what you can be. And He would like nothing better than to be able to show you His love and then change you and use you for His honor and for His glory.